Wafting across the pastoral vistas of the new basement studios by the lake, this is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion.
Welcome to part two of the Atlantic Voice's fried chicken special. Eric and I out and about testing the best fried chicken product. First episode, we went to Popeyes and then Chick-fil-A. And then at the end, we let you know we were going to work KFC, but we broke up the show because we know that for some of you, long shows are just too much effort. So here we are in part two, my partner and I sitting down in KFC.
Right, so we're in KFC, this is joint KFC.
Sorry, let me move this around. This is a joint KFC Taco Bell.
To the point where they have the single counter that ordering both, although I don't see anybody ordering Taco Bell, and there's nobody behind the counter wearing Taco Bell gear. Let's be candid, so far the experience has been less than impressive.
That was one of the, that's one of the most confusing menus. Everything has a letter and a number. There's pictures of at least 14 different versions of food.
I think the letters, and all their combinations are not like an intuitive
combos.
Set of like, it's not like a two-piece, three-piece, four-piece thing. It's weird variations.
And then there's something called a $5 fill-up. Anyway, we navigated through it and we've ordered two combos.
Yep.
Original and crispy, and I'm guessing
incredibly small pieces.
Very small pieces.
I think that's original. That's why we actually.
I don't know. I think that's original. This is not a good sign when we're unable to. So here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna
go for it.
I now have the drumstick. It tastes original.
Yeah.
But it definitely seems crispy. And I'm not entirely convinced. There is a difference here.
You might be able to tell from the sides on the receipt. But the napkin chair.
I'm not gonna lie. This isn't good.
Yeah,
and I'm a little surprised to have to say that. I'm still not convinced that we've just had the crispy though. You are now biting into a small chunk of a chicken. It looks like the wing. Okay. Is that of appreciable difference to the last
it's
box?
It's definitely crispier. It's got like more little chunky.
Okay, so I'm gonna break open. I'm just sort of pulling at what looks like the breast.
I mean, the spicing is okay, but putting aside the fact that we can't figure out which the chicken.
If you blind
is...
tested me, I wouldn't know which was crispy and which wasn't.
Right.
The breast is actually quite dry.
Is it? Okay, because I was about to say everything else is kind of saturated. It seems very little bit squishy when you bite into it.
Well, maybe it's both dry and squishy at the same time.
Yeah, look at that. I just pulled up way more than I wanted here.
It definitely looks like it's had...
No.
That's pretty dry, isn't it?
Yeah. That's pretty disappointing.
I'm actually quite surprised. Now, I'll say this. I'm going to break off a piece of skin only. KFC famous for its, 39 herbs and spices? Wasn't that the old saying?
It's 11.
Oh, 11.
31 flavors of ice cream.
Oh, sorry. The coating does taste of salt, but there is some other things in there. Salt, garlic salt, and onion salt, maybe?
Maybe we'll talk about this one back in the studio. There's people who have deciphered with the recipes. And you can make it at home if you want. I'm having a biscuit too. Biscuits are not bad. They do doesn't seem quite home cooked, and it does seem like a biscuit that's made in a fast food place, but it's fluffy and buttery on the outside.
The biscuit's good?
Yeah. I need those biscuits.
I don't know if it's the time of day. It is quite busy in here. I don't know what order things are being cooked in. I do feel, I don't think this chicken is fresh out of the fryer.
Right. That would be the appearance.
Yeah.
Oh, that was KFC.
Yeah, I started by saying whether it's classic, but...
When we went in there, the KFC to me was the most depressing of all our chicken experiences. Let me tell you why. Because, do you have a little bit of history of KFC?
Well, so KFC, this goes way back, 19... 19- 1930, Harlan Sanders, who ultimately becomes Colonel Harlan Sanders, because in Kentucky they have this society.
He just promoted
colonels,
himself.
Right? No, it's a legit colonel. This is a society of Kentucky colonels, and so he was in it, and he started calling himself that, and they said it was like.
So he is military.
No, it's not. It's a weird.
He's commander of
like
the Chicken Army.
It's like a Masons club or something. I think one of my roommates may be in the order of Kentucky colonels. But so 1930 ran this. I think he started with like a convenience store, filling station. But in 19, he started going more with the chicken stuff. And then in 1952, he starts franchising it.
Colonel Sanders in the library. With a drumstick.
Right. In 1952, unfortunately, this print is too dense. In 1964, he sells it to a couple of investors. I want to make note of this. $2 million at the time, which would be worth about $15 million now. And the deal was he got a lifetime salary and he had to stay on for branding purposes because he's the one that you'd see the pictures of up on there. So, I forget. He had 600 stores by 1963. After he sells it in 64, in 1970, they got 3,000 stores in 48 different countries. Right? They were very early in going into other nations, and I think this is actually plays a part in some of the things we're going to hear. In 71, those investors sell it to Hubline, the packaged food place, for $285 million. So it's gone from $2 million to $285 million. Sanders dies in 1980. The company gets sold. Actually, the company that it was sold to in 82 gets acquired by R.J. Reynolds, the tobacco giant. In 86, R.J. Reynolds sells it to Pepsi for $850 million. Pepsi makes it a part of its restaurants division next to Pizza Hut and Taco Bell. Pepsi owned all those at a point. They then spin it off into what they call Yum Brands, which... I mean, you guys seem to have seen that. Yep. You've seen that brand, but who the heck decided that this was the right thing to name their restaurant set? So it becomes Yum Brands.
That's a matter of taste.
Actually, it was something else, and then it becomes Yum Brands.
Actually, Yum with an exclamation mark.
You know, and now, you know, I forget. But so by now, like by 2015, at least in the States, the company's been doing badly. It's losing business, and they write here, at least Wikipedia says, it's Chick-fil-A as the leading chicken retailer for 3 years in
the
States. It's meanwhile still making a killing abroad, I think.
And when you're ready, I want to speak directly to that.
Yeah.
You're ready? Okay.
I'm ready, sure.
When I was a kid, before McDonald's came to England, Kentucky Fried Chicken were already there first.
Yeah.
When I grew up as a kid, Kentucky Fried Chicken was American fast food. It was the big player on the block. This was pre-McDonald's. I still remember being a little kid and eating Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, the colonel walking down the street, the herbs and spices. Kentucky Fried Chicken, and by extension, when you went to restaurants that had fried chicken on the menu, and this is to talk about what you talked about at the start of the show, the history of fried chicken, they sometimes referred to fried chicken as Maryland Fried Chicken.
Yeah, and there actually is some chain that's that.
But Kentucky Fried Chicken was an international American fast food player before McDonald's. Yeah. And so therefore, abroad, there is still it's ingrained a bit more. And so while walking into KFC here, I've got to tell you, it was an almost depressing experience walking into KFC now.
KFC / Taco Bell.
Whatever it was a joint KFC Taco Bell. The menu was the most confusing fast food. I can't believe I'm saying this.
I mean, you couldn't read it from where we were until you really got up to the counter. And then once you looked at it, it wasn't like we said, it wasn't like a two-piece, three-piece, four-piece thing. It was
ordered a K1 or a K7.
Well, the Ks, I think, were because it was combined with Taco Bell.
Whatever.
So the Ks are this and the Ts were the other one.
It's like taking an exam. It was a nightmare.
And then they didn't have... here we were at dinner hour on a Saturday night.
Yep, well, that was prime time.
And we said, okay, we want to have this and extra crisp. And he's like, I don't have that and extra those particular cut. I forget. It didn't have legs or didn't have white meat. And extra crispy. And then so they kicked us over to another set, which was fine, but it doesn't make any sense that you wouldn't have these things. And then we couldn't figure out which was extra crispy and which was regular anyway.
I couldn't tell the difference.
So now I do... anybody comes after us for a review, like it's possible that this is just a bad outlet, you know. But I will say, there's a reason that KFC is not doing as well. I mean, to contrast it with Popeyes, I mean, it's I know Popeye's not nearly as big, but Popeye's not expanding the way Chick-fil-A is. But you could see, I don't know why anybody, if they were going to get fried chicken and had a choice to go to Popeye's and go to KFC, why you would go to.
I'm not going to lie to you. On our chicken bucket scale,
Biscuits are better at Popeye's too, by the way. Not that KFC's are hard.
Well, because of how KFC resonates with me as a person and as a kid and what it stands for, I would sit here and before the show, I was ready to give KFC 10 out of 12. Right. I would eat 10 pieces out of a 12 bucket in one go. That's how, and it's as much as like, it's my team, I'm supporting them type thing. But I got to tell you something. Walking out of that KFC, as much as I like the coating, I like the herbs and spices, I don't think I would order KFC again in a hurry. I would go to Popeyes before that. And I like Popeyes. I'm not knocking Popeyes, but KFC is the old. KFC is the Rose Bowl of fried chicken.
Right.
It's the granddaddy of them all. I got to tell
you. Makes you wonder whether somebody took it. Like, it's always interesting. Like,
there is a
danger. How do you change if you have that many restaurants? But
maybe that's the danger, that in trying to change and become hip and modernize, you lose track of what it is that made you what you was, which is really good.
But maybe you just do better. Maybe you say, you know what? I'm going to make my restaurants better. Like, the whole things. Like, listen, if we can go in there and realize the things that are hurdles to, and the hurdles aren't. The hurdles, if anything, on the menu, it's not like, oh, I want to have more variety. It's just you want to be more responsive to the consumer and be easier to deal with, not combined with Taco Bell, better food, make sure you have it there all the time.
I didn't think about this at the time when we were eating, but in saying that now, looking at that menu, did you notice how many other chicken products they seem to be pushing? And it actually wasn't easy to find. You just said it wasn't easy to find two or three pieces, but you could order 17 tenders or 16 chicken.
Yeah, they had some sandwiches called zingers.
They were pushing all kinds of other stuff.
Yeah,
and the hard thing to find was fried chicken.
And in addition to the extra crispy and all, which remember we couldn't even figure out if the extra crispy or original. Well, not only couldn't tell, but remember when we looked at the list, you couldn't find the menu. We're like, did they discontinue one?
Maybe, I said that to you.
Maybe they hadn't. Maybe they had discontinued. They just didn't tell us. Of course, I don't know why you bother saying you didn't have different parts. But then they also had Georgia Gold, which is like a honey.
Yeah,
something, and they had Nashville Hot, which is apparently a type of fried chicken that's like when you look on the fried chicken.
But then when I asked you, you said that was only for the tenders or something.
It appeared to be, like as far as I could tell. But again, too many permutations here. Chicken should be pretty simple.
I may feel sick from eating all this chicken, but I'm gutted at the condition of KFC. I gotta tell you,
we forgot to grade Chick-fil-A, so maybe we need to grade both of these. How much? What are you going to give as a number for KFC?
KFC's got to be a 3. And that's pushing it. It was clearly worse, and that says something. While I think we both agreed that it was a bit hard to sort of identify what Chick-fil-A was, other than it was kind of good. KFC was the only chicken of the whole day that struck me as actually being poor.
Yep. All right. So I was going to say a 3. Also,
3 is actually really generous.
What was the number you're going to give Chick-fil-A?
I don't. I'm going to give it an 8. Because I do feel like I'd sit there and just keep eating nuggets until I popped.
I'll say a 7.
Okay.
All right. So I don't remember what you said for Popeyes, but I assume you did.
I did at the start, didn't I? I think I went with a 9 or something. Eight or nine. It was high, right.
So one other thing about we were talking about the herbs and spices. So they had the 11 herbs and spices. And
I thought it was 32. I said that to you. I think
yeah, yeah, yeah. 31, you thought. Then I was like, that's the ice cream. That's the Baskin Robbins thing.
They're also
20 something is the things that are in Dr. Pepper. I can't remember whatever it is. But anyway, so 11 herbs and spices. And apparently the way, like, it's a big trade secret. Like, they haven't patented it, because if you patent it, your patent would run out. But as a trade secret, it doesn't have the same legal protections, but you can chase people down if they're using it. And they haven't made in two different people. Like, two different companies make half and half, so they don't know everything that's in there, and then they bring it together and they mix the stuff together, apparently. A number of years ago, somebody who had bought the house that he had lived in,
they said,
and then apparently, like, they were all set to have litigation, and then KFC said, oh no, we've seen a list, that's not it. Okay. And but then somebody else did, I don't forget how these people got the lists, but they came up with it, and I don't know whether they did some science to figure it out, and some cooking restaurant, Joe Ledington is the one who apparently found this. Chicago Tribune claimed to have found a copy of the original KFC recipe in handwritten paper on an envelope in a scrapbook, so same sort of story. And so they put together and they cooked it this with this set of ingredients. And they said once they added an accent, when accent is MSG that you buy over the counter, and MSG is monosodium glutamate, which sort of is a flavor enhancer because what it does is like opens your tongue vessels or something like that to make it taste more. They said it just sounded, it tasted exactly like KFC. So if you go to the Wikipedia page for KFC original recipe, it has the recipe for all the spices if you want to try to make it on your own. Salt, thyme, basil, oregano, celery salt, black pepper, dried mustard, paprika, garlic salt, ground ginger, and white pepper. A lot of white pepper, and apparently the guy had said, oh, I remember uncle, whatever the heck, made things with a lot of white pepper.
Hmm. Interesting.
So there you have it.
Basically extra MSG, to quote Kramer from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
When I die, I want to be buried in MSG.
You know, it used to be like when you'd order food from a Chinese restaurant, you'd say no MSG because they were very concerned about its health things. I don't know if the restaurant stopped you, but nobody says that anymore.
No, because most of them will have it somewhere on the menu. We will do that on our Chinese food show.
Right. Okay.
All right. So let's roll on. We're quickly going to listen to us eat the McDonald's sandwich.
Sort of point of reference.
Crispy chicken sandwich, nothing else. And yeah, just the sandwich. And actually, no lettuce or tomato on it.
No lettuce or no tomato.
Yep.
No sauce.
Is that it?
Yep, it is. Thank you.
Yeah. Right, so we've just caught the end there of my partner ordering a chicken sandwich at McDonald's. We're only doing McDonald's as sort of a control. Is that the right phrase?
Yeah, I guess a point of reference of what somebody's not a chicken place does or something.
Yeah.
Crispy buttermilk, no tomato, no lettuce.
Yeah.
What was it? $4.87.
$4.87.
How much was that? $4.87.
Yeah. At one point, they used to sell... I think they called it a Southern chicken sandwich. It was much more clearly a.
It was a shot breaded Chick-fil-A. Chicken.
This one.
Oh, it was.
Too, but yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Now, to be fair, I don't want to pick on McDonald's, and we've not really been comparing prices. But $4.87—that seems a bit steep for just a chicken sandwich.
It'll be the best chicken sandwich you had in your life.
Yeah.
It'll be the shocker of our.
If it wins, yeah.
Taste testing. One thing is this.
Well, I mean, they do a good breakfast. And let's face it, from the egg comes the chicken.
Something like that.
Yeah. I've always been a big fan of the sausage McMuffin with egg. McDonald's now famous for all-day breakfast. They gave us a whole bag. They didn't throw anything else in there, did they?
I don't think so. It was fast.
Yeah.
Drive with one hand and my chicken.
Watch out, they've got some guy in a Sentra.
All right,
so this is it. And again, this is only the control. The modern cardboard box type wrapping.
Mm-hmm.
Buttermilk crispy chicken, it's cold.
Yeah, that's what they call it.
Now, we've got it raw. We specifically asked for no lettuce and tomato.
I think your definition of raw is not, you know.
Yeah. It's big.
Yeah, it's a good size. I mean,
it's a good size.
It's it's a real chicken piece, unlike the old days of chicks and sandwiches that were like.
All right, break us off.
Like a reconstituted.
All right, we're gonna pull this thing in half there.
Or pull a chunk off anyway.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. It does have mayonnaise on it.
The roll is pretty heavy going.
Yeah, it's sort of got like a shiny, almost Kaiser roll-y look at
this. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at it, and it doesn't look like chicken nuggets. So it doesn't look like chicken roll or any of those sort of reconstituted chicken products.
But I should have gotten it without the mayonnaise and be clear what it tastes like. It's got a little spice to it. Not bad.
It's not bad. And I feel, I mean, you know, we might have just got a roll that's sort of towards the end of days. You know, end of its lifespan a little bit. Like, I'm struck most by how bready the roll is. But the chicken, it wasn't unpleasantly salty or peppery or anything. Mm-hmm. It was very right up the middle. That was a McDonald's sandwich. We're not going to spend too much time on it, but we wanted to go somewhere. We specifically didn't go to Wendy's. I don't know, because Wendy's have pushed... doing, yeah, we do a fried chicken sandwich. We went to McDonald's where it's just something
else. Remember, when we talk about chicken, you know, the other place that used to have fried chicken was Roy Rogers, and we don't
because Roy Rogers doesn't seem to exist anymore.
Yeah.
That I was actually shocked at how the worst thing about, to me, about the McDonald's sandwich wasn't the chicken, it was the bread. I thought the bread just seemed to be too, I said at the time that the bun had a lot of characteristics.
I don't know if it was trying to be a potato roll, but it wasn't really a potato roll and had a weird gloss to it. I didn't think that was bad. We only have two straight sandwiches on the thing, and I think the Chick-fil-A sandwich was for sure better than this.
But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you said to me, hey, do you want to go to KFC? Like, you've got to eat fried chicken. Do you want to go to KFC or do you want to go to McDonald's, get a McDonald's chicken sandwich, French fries, and a Coke? I'd go to McDonald's.
Right. I feel like, you know, McDonald's probably.
I can't believe I was going to say that.
McDonald's. Oh, wait.
I can't believe I'm going to say. I never thought going in that I would say that. But sitting here now, I would have a McDonald's chicken sandwich before anything. From KFC.
I thought you were saying Chick-fil-A. No. Okay.
Oh, no, not Chick-fil-A. Yeah. So what I'm saying is McDonald's, which we expected just to be there, it actually wins.
Maybe what we need to do is a follow-up KFC visit somewhere, and we can kind of throw that in another
episode. We might do that. We might do give KFC a second chance.
Do you would bother a grade with it or no? I don't need to give it a grade.
No, we don't need to give it a grade.
Next, we have, so now we've hit the majors. There are a number of other chains to mention out there that we don't have access to. Bojangles is one that jumps out of mind. Really?
Because I actually tried to eat a whole 12-piece bucket of Bojangles once, or a box.
You're not supposed to do that.
And I've got to tell you something, I felt sick. That was a combination of gluttony, but also the fact that the chicken was very greasy. And the overwhelming taste was grease.
All right.
Rather than salt.
It's a very similar color scheme to Popeye. So, in my head, I didn't separate them until pretty recently.
And I don't know. I just felt vaguely racist going into something called Bojangles. And I don't know why. There was just something about anything being called Bojangles just didn't seem right. I don't even know what it means.
Yeah.
But I just felt vaguely weird. I just
know the song Mr. Bojangles, but that's not like a, I don't know. Anyway.
Isn't Mr. Bojangles a cat?
I think it's that too, but this song is.
I guess he's now working for KFC.
Mr. Bojangles. Anyway, Bojangles, Church's fried chicken.
Church's, which I've never had.
There's a Cane's. Cane's is like chicken fingers. They have that down in Charlottesville.
Oh, really?
Speaking of.
Yeah.
Charlottesville. That was worth sort of going on a side note. I mean, one of the things about the fried chicken is it's. And we just thought. It doesn't really connect to Charlottesville in terms of the story, except for the fact that you had a bunch of Nazis and white supremacists down in Charlottesville. But, like, you know, there's the fried chicken stereotype, you know, it becomes a problem in certain contexts. I think some people in, like, some high up places have served fried chicken in situations with African Americans and offended people and the like, because it's the stereotype of connecting it to
it is.
I mean, but it, you
remember
know
when Tiger Woods won the Masters,
right? Yes.
And Fuzzy Zeller got himself into trouble. When you win the Masters, the tradition is the next year you come back and you host the champions dinner to all the past champions and you pick what's on the menu. And Fuzzy Zeller, I think he's from Georgia,
okay,
made the statement, I guess we're going to be eating fried chicken, and then everyone jumped on him for basically.
And Sergio Garcia said something similar, I think, a couple of years later, but you know, he's Spanish.
Unfortunately for Sergio, he did a lot of moaning about. I don't think Sergio was being racist. He was just complaining again. Sergio went through his whole stage about my tea like, time.
He probably
is bad.
Just remembered Fuzzy Zeller said something about chicken, and so he just said the same thing. And
so Sergio, not racist, just the whiner. But he's a Masters champion now. I guess they'll be having paella next year. Oh, because he's from Spain.
Paella.
Is it paella?
Paella. Double L's is the...
All right.
So I don't know if there's any much more to say about it other than acknowledge that issue. And don't offend anybody by talking about stereotypes.
Yeah. I think that's a good way of putting it.
I mean, that's obvious. It came from the South.
And if you are having Nazis over, my advice is to load up on the sauerkraut and sausage and beer rather than fried chicken.
There you go.
So anyway...
So after this, we went to a couple places
humor for you all.
A little bit more off the beaten path, not physically, but in terms of, you know, where they fit into the realm.
All right, so we went to Astro's Donut and Donuts and Chicken. Do you want to do a bit of history?
Astro's, just Astro Donut and Chicken. So Astro Donut is a local, was local. They actually have one in L.A. now.
They have one in L.A. and they have a food truck.
But it was a food truck originally.
Yep.
And then they put in a couple of shops. And their real claim to fame is donuts. And they have like...
Well, actually, this is an interesting thing. They're owned by two chaps, Jeff Halpern and Elliot Spaceman, who both grew up playing ice hockey. And both of them played for the Caps, apparently. The Wikipedia entry was slightly vague. Jeff Halpin definitely did, but the way the sentence was written, you could have believed that Elliot Spaceman made it as a
pro. I think it was just the one, because there was recently an article about like athletes who own restaurants around town, and like they only mentioned his name when they talked about
it. Like I say, he was a cap, so it means that their food is great most of the time, but it has a bad aftertaste. It doesn't finish well. They do make a point of saying that they were in the top 21. So basically, they were 21st. Because if you're in the top 20, you wouldn't go, we're in the top 21.
The top 21 what?
Some list about new fast food, hip food truck. I don't know, one of these.
Like the people, food. So they're big on Twitter because, you know, the food trucks originally, the way you'd find out where they were. And in fact, Astor still does the food trucks.
Right.
Has a couple of restaurants. So you get these tweets that say, okay, the food truck, the donut truck's going to be here. And, you know, they have. First of all, their donuts are square. I mean, they have the hole in the center, but instead of being round on the outside, they're square.
Yep.
I guess it's just easier to cut them that way.
Yeah.
But they're like interesting flavors. Like, so the big one that everybody had always heard about for years was creme brulee. And that I think was the first one that when people would review, they'd be like, oh, creme brulee. I bought a few donuts just to bring back, and I got a creme brulee one. I got a maple bacon one. So it's got maple frosting on it. And I'm going to guess it's better than the Dunkin' Donuts maple frosting and bits of bacon. And then I got a summer sweet corn one, which seems to be, I don't know, I can't tell what's in there. But there were there must have been like 10 different donuts, and they do different things on different days. And so like when you look up there, mind you, what did we say? A price for a dozen donuts is $33.
Oh, yeah.
They're and it is like the next wave after cupcakes. And first of all, I never got the cupcake craze.
No, but they did. They were inspired by the cupcake craze.
Right, but they're much more, like I could, a donut thing, like fancy donuts, that should be able to go on forever. Like, maybe. Because they are really, but like cupcakes, even when cupcakes are good, they're not that good. Like,
No.
All these cupcakes with like these stacks, and they had these, they're very pretty looking, but I was never like, oh my God, that thing tastes fantastic. Well, since a regular donut tastes pretty darn good, fancy donut even better, right?
Okay, well, as this isn't a donut show, we'll have to leave that for another occasion.
Yes, right. Anyway, so they also have fried chicken. I don't think they do the fried chicken at the trucks. My guess, as I was saying to you, is
they just had something to do with a fry.
They had the setup for the fry. I mean, they can't possibly be cooking the things concurrently, but
you're dishing, let me tell you something. If you're dishing up a maple and bacon donut, does it really matter that you fried it in the same frying oil as the chicken?
I would assume so.
Seriously?
Anyway,
seriously,
they must have felt competent with the fryer. Anyway,
so you can tell I'm slightly hostile to these yuppie-fied donuts. I just like eating through a whole box of Krispy Kremes.
Let's go to the audio tape. Go to the audio tape, like George Michael.
Different music here than other venues.
I think it has like a 60s Woodstock Spotify vibe going on. We're in Astro's.
Astro Donut. And chicken.
Yeah. Actually, by the time when this appears on the show, we will actually have the correct nomenclature down as to what it is.
Chicken is in a bag.
Smell good though.
Yeah.
I caught the smell of it.
Thank you.
I'm gonna break a bit of the breast off.
Yeah, we're gonna do that. I might just take this. It's very hot. Yeah, everything's being made on the spot. Very, a lot of crispiness to it, you can tell. Before I eat.
Mine's a little dry.
Really?
Yeah. I got the end there. Interesting seasoning though.
Yep, a little different.
Definitely got some herbs on it. Interesting. Very salty.
Well,
very salty. I'm actually going to go into the bag. We got four pieces. I want to try some of the
dark meat.
I'm going to break open some wing, which is always the big fried chicken ripoff.
Definitely some salt, but the meat itself has a flavor in it versus just the flavor being on the outside.
That's true.
That means it's
been brined, maybe,
or something like that. You know,
brined. Could be. Which would make sense. Brining's always the best way to sort of defend yourself against overcooking any kind of fowl.
Mm-hmm.
Blind? Blind turkey. Very good. Interesting. Did you try some of the wing?
I did not.
I'm actually just now going to eat some of the coating to see if I can identify
spices.
This is going to be, yeah, to your point, I think the flavor is in the meat. But the coating has some nice heft to it. Not as, I don't know. I think with a lot of these things, it depends what part you get. And that's the great thing about fried chicken, is that depending what part of the chicken you're eating, it could be super crispy, it could be softer. So I don't think it's one of those things. Having made fried chicken myself, I think you do shoot for an overall consistency, but in reality, you're never going to get that. I might have another piece of the breast here, leave you a whole whatever's in there for later.
Sure. It's definitely hot.
Yeah.
But it's a small shop. We haven't commented on the style, apart from the different music. It's like very rustic looking. It's a, you know, modern thing. We'll be talking about more of this.
We'll talk about more of this in studio, yeah. But that is to my point. Is this truly fried, or is it fried chicken that's been reheated? You did say something about seeing a convection of it.
I think it was a sandwich.
Oops. Oh, that's not a good sign. When your coating falls off, your coating should remain with the chicken.
That's, is that a rule? That's
it. It is a rule of well-cooked fried chicken. All right, so that was Astro.
Yep.
I don't know. It was expensive.
It was expensive. I mean, but that shouldn't be surprising. It's not really a fast.
No, that's place. True. That's true.
Wasn't a restaurant either, but it wasn't a.
Put it this way. I mean, I didn't think it was. I didn't think it was bad. It was nice and hot. It was very hot. It was the hottest of the
yes,
the chicken
it was
that we
straight.
Had.
Like,
I mean,
you know, like
I sounds very simplistic.
Considering it wasn't like they have the highest turnover. You know, a bunch of people we were there with were just getting donuts. They weren't getting chicken, so it was not like going to Popeyes, where everybody there is getting, like, you know, the Popeyes had the tons and tons of chicken. There's no way Astro Donuts could have that tons of chicken around, because they just didn't sell that much chicken at a time. And for it to be that piping hot, and as far as we could tell, not cheating in any way or microwaving or you know, keeping it at something too warm, it was, but it was, I had a real hard time trying to figure out, is it better or worse than like Popeyes? Because it's much more like you would make at your house, or maybe you'd find in a restaurant. And like, it was just much more, the chicken itself tastes a little different. It tastes like the chicken was herbed. But it didn't have all those fast food sensory spurs or something.
I'm going to give it a 6. I'm going to give it a 6, which is one less than Popeyes, one or two less than Popeyes. I'm going to give it a 6
on
my...
You said before you gave Popeyes a 9, but we're very
confused. All right, so it's far less than Popeyes. And to your point, it tasted like fried chicken I would make. But my whole point is, if I'm going out and dropping nearly $12 for a couple of pieces of chicken, I'm not going out to taste food that... I'm not going out to eat food that I can make. And I can, you know, I can maybe do a fried... I've cooked fried chicken. I'd like to think that I could whip up some fried chicken and go through the spice rack and throw all kinds of stuff into the flour, and I could give you fried chicken and I could look at you and go, this is better than anything you're going to buy out there. Now, it's probably not, but it will taste unique. There was nothing unique about Astro. It was good. It was hot. But when I left, I'm not sitting there going, oh, I can't wait to come back here for the chicken. And that doesn't mean it's bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, we're being quite harsh here. We're ranking them all. And so Astro's doesn't win. You don't win by just not being the worst. You're just not the worst.
Yeah. Well, you know what I think? I think in a weird way, it's
it does feel
better.
Like an add-on.
I'm going a different direction. It's better than Popeyes in that it is a more faithful representation of fresh cooking. It clearly doesn't have a lot of extra things.
So you could eat 10 pieces from a 12-piece bucket of Astro chicken.
No, but let me finish.
Okay.
I got a whole thing going here.
Okay.
It's better, but it's better in the way, and this will tie into one of the things I was talking about, is it would be in a restaurant. Like, if you had this as a part of a broader meal with other things, I think I'd be more impressed by it.
Oh, yeah, right? Like a broccoli.
Like,
so, can eat.
Like I had sides. I had like a gravy. I had other different things. And so I'm having a whole meal. I'd say this is really well-made chicken.
Yeah.
And it's going with a bunch of other flavors. But if you're treating it like fast food, when you go in, you're just having chicken. I mean, sure, it comes with the sides and the stupid little styrofoam things. You know, at the other places, it comes with these things. But you're really the chicken in and of itself. And when you have this chicken without anything else going on, you're like, it's really good chicken, but it doesn't have its own little punch that like kind of gets you to just eat it. Just it's the same way like potato chips. It's like potato chips versus a baked potato.
Do you know what? It's a good excuse to go and it's a good excuse to add a donut to your meal.
Right. Well, maybe
that's what it is.
They made some sandwiches there. We didn't have the sandwiches, but
and at $3 a pop, they probably made their margin of profit is bigger on a donut than it is on chicken.
Yeah, so, like, if I was to, like, let's say I wanted to have a meal put together, I could buy, and they did have sides there. We didn't really investigate.
No, we didn't do sides.
So, like, I would be interested, like, if I was getting a meal for four people to buy their donuts and their bunch of their sides and be like, okay, now does I mean it's not the donuts, the chicken and the sides and the donuts for dessert.
Not gonna be cheap,
but, you know, like right? Yeah, it won't be that little, but I would be interested. To try it that way, so that's my thought on there.
We have one to go. Can I before we anything else on Astro?
Oh no, I wanted to mention. So restaurant wise, Chicken and Waffles. So Chicken and Waffles is like, I didn't realize that it's an old dish. Of course, I should have thought of this. You know, chicken pancakes and things like that. This thing goes way back. But Chicken and Waffles is like a hot dish in restaurant. Like fine, not like meaning like you know. Wear a suit and tie steak restaurants, yeah, like, yeah. But in the cool, hip, upper level restaurants, the foodie type restaurants now, the Chicken and Waffles, and if anything, we're on the back end of the Chicken and Waffles wing. I think David Chang up in New York was like one of the first ones to push out the Chicken and Waffles. I love chicken if it's well done. Like that's that chicken. If you threw some maple syrup on it and you put it on top of a waffle, I'd much rather have that than Popeye. I wouldn't put Popeyes on top of a waffle with maple syrup, but I'd put that on there because it would be part of a more cohesive whole.
One of the greatest movie references to chicken and waffles is from the film Tapeheads, a film that I have promoted here on this show before, starring John Cusack and Tim Robbins, playing two videographers in the late 80s making rock videos. And one of the first jobs they get is doing a promotional video for Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
All right,
then. And they have Roscoe wrap.
See, that's how you knew. You didn't really know because you knew. You just knew about it.
Roscoe, give it a gam. I don't know. And then they have a dancing chicken and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. All right, then.
Chicken and Waffles from the movie Tapeheads. Watch it just for that. Actually, watch it anyway because it's a very funny movie. Also features the girl who shot JR in it.
Yep. So, last restaurant stop.
All right, let's do it.
Right, as you can hear from the music, we're in Bon Chon Chicken. So this recording might be a little garbled, but the background music
is somewhat louder. It is much more like a restaurant style.
Soy garlic fried.
Okay, great, thank you.
But the reason we did pick it was because Bon Chon is a local chain to this area.
Well, it started here. It's actually originally in South Korea, but we'll talk all about that in the podcast. What we've got is more of a wings and drumstick situation. These things are sauced. We'll talk more about like how it's prepared in back in the studio, but now to eat. It gets pretty hot, so we've got about 2 seconds. I'm having a soy garlic drumstick. It's very, very good.
I'm having the spicy.
Yeah.
It's spicy.
Okay.
I'm glad that this is the one chicken restaurant where I have a beer alongside me.
Yeah.
No. It's interesting. I don't know enough about the technique. Even though I've made fried chicken, I don't know enough about the technique as to why the coating is different. It seems much crispier. And compared to the other fried chicken where it's clearly made up of things, this is much more like it's been like, you know, if something's been heat dipped.
You know, we can't talk, I won't tell you all about it when we're back in the studio and what's the background, but nobody will be able to hear it if I explain it right now. Might even need to pause since we're sort of arrested, because this thing's going to turn into a very long recording since we're sitting here with beer and things.
Okay, well, that's why I'm going to taste both chicken so I can be done with recording. The spicy one is very spicy. Cool. That's why I need the pickled something.
Pickled radish. This is chicken. We have pickled radish and kimchi. Kimchi itself is quite spicy. Kimchi is like a fermented, what do you call it, coleslaw? It's a bunch of different vegetables mixed together with a red sauce.
What's the flavor we have here?
Soy garlic.
You can taste the soy.
Yep.
You can taste the garlic. Not as spicy. It's interesting because these are little drumsticks. Just trying to get a sense of how the actual chicken is cooked.
I can't ask that many questions. I'll just tell you that it's cooked twice. Second, it's like
okay. Because it's very crispy on the outside. The coating sticks to the chicken. I'm eating a bit of the coating on its own. Yeah, very crispy. I'm enjoying that.
All right, so that was Bon Chon Chicken.
Yeah, we forgot to mention that on the way into the clip. I hope that the clip's quality was good enough that people heard that we were in Bon Chon. Otherwise, you may need to stick in a little word saying, here's Bon Chon Chicken. All right, so just check on that before you put it all together.
Don't worry, I'm the one who handles post-production.
So Bon Chon, so...
you got some history on Bon Chon.
Right, so Bon Chon Chicken is part of a group of types of chicken, Korean fried chicken. So Korean fried chicken, when you, on the first page of the fried chicken page on Wikipedia, when they talk about, they talk the first thing's the basics, and they say the dish has created a large number of spin-off recipes which are commonly used around the world. For example, Korean fried chicken, a dish which is commonly served at fast food in Korea and is known for being crisper than normal fried chicken, blah, blah, blah. So it's right up there.
But if you make Confederate jokes in Korea, let me tell you, they're not laughing. They got problems of their own out there.
I think it's a case where, like, you know, that KFC's presence around the world, it's like everything's echoing back. I don't know. I don't want to say that I know that the Korean folks, like, said, oh, this, we're doing this KFC, but it, just the same way maybe blues made one way over to England, and it comes back as rock and, you know, as the Stones, you
okay.
know, that kind of thing.
That's so a good point.
It echoes back in some connection there. It is made differently. It's double fried. I think I mentioned that on the.
I think you did, yeah.
Because
it's so. It is far and away the outside had a. It had a crispy coating that was also thinner and more durable in the way that if you ever have a toffee apple. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
It was almost like sugar. I mean, you know, because they use soy and all types of other things.
Yep.
It was unlike the standard the coating on a more traditional piece of fried chicken, where you do have a sense of it's lots of little bits attached to the chicken.
I mean, you're like, and you didn't read it ahead of time.
No,
that's what they talk about.
I just know. I'm a foodie.
It's fried one time and it's shaken in a way to like basically knock all the little bits off again. It's dropped in a fryer again.
Yeah.
And the real reason they do that is because what we talked about in terms of cooking amount versus temperature, that they're trying to get the stuff crispy on the outside without destroying the rest of it. And so they, by doing it once, they take it out, it's warming, it's kind of keeping itself under control, and they drop it in the fryer a second time.
The best French fried potatoes are always double fried. I do that myself when I make English chips. You parboil them one time, cook them a little bit. No. You parboil them, chop them up. Then you fry them a little bit. Then you take them out and let them cool. And then you fry them again.
Oh.
And that's how they're crispy on the outside,
but
mushy on the outside. No. They have, as I said earlier, they have other methods. So, yeah, that's that double fried process.
Korean fried chicken is a relatively recent invention, which is why I say that I think it had to echo back, because I think it was the early 70s, like the first version that's mentioned on Wikipedia. The first modern fried chicken franchise, Lim's Chicken, was established in 1977 in the basement of the department store, blah, blah, blah. Bon Chon itself starts in the early 80s, I believe. No, Bon Chon restaurant began in 2002 in South Korea. And the first location in the United States was in Annandale, Virginia, which is the one we went to.
Right? We went to the very first Bon Chon Chicken.
Yeah, so that's been there for a while. And now there are, we know of at least two or three just in Virginia, Northern Virginia alone, maybe more. What we haven't done, I haven't actually gone to any except for this one. And this one is very much like a restaurant. You can certainly order takeout, like a Chinese food restaurant.
Yeah.
You can order takeout and you can get it real quick. And I've gone in there and ordered on the site and just sat there for a minute and they give you your food. So it's not really a fast food type of place, but it's really basically like a full-blown restaurant.
It was interesting, though, because of the cooking method and because of how it then comes in front. When it's in front, I remember when I first saw the plate in front of me.
They also serve beer, so that's different.
Yeah, that does separate it somewhat. When they first put the plate down in front of us, I wasn't entirely convinced it was coated at all. It was clearly fried. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's not like
it doesn't look
like getting buffalo wings where it's like coated in some wet.
And so, in a strange way, it was very good. And in a strange way, it's almost an unfair comparison,
right?
Because of how it's cooked. Forget the flavors. Because of how it's double fried, it is suddenly almost a different product.
Right, and it is just wings and drumsticks.
Yeah,
and probably those drumsticks are really the upper arms. I don't even think.
I mean, they were big. Yeah, they weren't like. But we say wings and
like the drumettes. The full wing.
They just called them wings and drums.
They call them drums, and so it's probably a drumette, which means it's not really.
It's not a full drumstick, but it's more than a wing that you get at like Hooters or somewhere. Right. Like it's hefty. I mean,
yeah, but I mean even like Hooters stuff, they have the little one. Yeah, it is bigger.
It is bigger. Yeah,
on there. But anyway, I don't think it's a part of the leg. I mean, one of the things to mention, by the way, with all these chicken things and the parts. Is that, you know, that every chicken that's born has all of the parts. So, like, you know, like, you don't get to... This is a big thing. And people, like, right now, apparently, wings are incredibly expensive for restaurants to buy.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like I was talking before about the health thing. Yeah, well, because everybody said, I'm not afraid of chicken skins anymore because fat isn't so bad for me. And so now wings are in high demand, very high price. But meanwhile, you've got these other parts of the chicken and you got to figure out where to send them. I think there are certain parts of the chicken they send to, like... Eastern Europe or something like that to make some other sort of product because the big chicken places go, well,
yeah, cars.
People to buy the wings.
I think they make cars out there.
Right? Yeah, yeah. And I know there was a local chicken, I was reading that just last week in the Washington Post, there was a, and everybody's ever interested in parting up your own chicken because they were saying, listen, people should not, it's a 3-minute exercise. Like you just buy a whole chicken and
it's a big
like,
scam,
it's not hard to pull it apart. And yet they charge you like a buck or two more a pound for the parts of the same chicken that you're buying.
Mind you, I hate to tell you, if you gave me a chicken tender, I wouldn't be able to figure out where that fits.
No,
if you gave me all the parts but just messed them all up, I'm not sure I could reassemble it as
right.
one.
Well,
anyone can identify your legs and your breasts. Mostly
taking them apart.
Yeah, but okay.
But so, but one of the local chicken places was saying they started taking the parts, but they have to they charge a lot for the prime parts because it's making up for the fact that they have like don't have easy outlets for the rest of it, like they could if they sell the whole chicken.
Is it fair to say it was? It was the best, wasn't it? But it's strange.
Within the parameters of what we're doing, I'm not giving it a higher grade than Popeyes. But I'm giving it like an 8. But if you were to grade these as foods overall, but then again, it's not really fair if it's really a restaurant and not a fast food place.
No, but forgetting all of that, the chicken was almost a slightly different it was a slightly different end product. It's a bit like comparing, like, you know, beef stew with a steak. Well, they're two different things, but they both come from a cow. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I almost felt a little bit that, it is fried chicken in name, but it was not fried chicken in the way that the other ones were fried chicken. So it was a different sort of subset. So it's a bit harsh to say that
it was in many respects closer to Chinese food.
Yes.
With an American twist in the sense it was, you know, finger food of chicken wings and things like that.
That said, I will say this, especially in comparison with...
And would be very good for Chinese food. By the way, like, there's a bunch of bad fried bits of Chinese.
But I do want to say this in comparison with Astro. And again, you know, to then pull maybe Chick-fil-A out there again. You could clearly identify the chicken. And you could clearly identify... I remember we had two different sorts of drumettes. And one was super spicy and one was like a soy, garlicky.
Yeah.
You could you could differentiate them. You could taste the ingredients. You could also taste the chicken. Chick-fil-A, we're still not sure what the overrated sensation is. Astro, it had a nice coating, but I can't say the coating was that memorable, not in the way that Popeyes was. So in a strange way, I'm going to say, for the sake of this exercise, Bonchon's is the best. It sort of held up both ends, both the chicken and whatever the chicken is wearing out that night.
Yeah. So.
I'm going to say Bonchon's is the best. We didn't do any of these by price.
Does that mean you're giving Bonchon the win? It was a good price, actually. I mean, it was for what we had there.
Dude, if you put a bucket of Popeyes in front of me and a bucket of Bonchon's, but not the super spicy one,
right.
Bonchon's would probably win by one piece of chicken.
Well,
I would force one extra in of Bonchon's, but not the spicy one. That spicy one was hard going.
Soy garlic for you, huh?
Yeah, soy garlic. I have to be soy garlic. Spicy? No way. Popeyes may tough. Have been less spicy than we remember,
yeah.
but this is a volume competition. We're filling our bucket.
Well, I'm going to give it to Popeyes, if only for variety, but it just mostly because Banchan feels like it's in a different category. But it was very good. So I think I'm going to put Banchan more in my regular routine.
All right. So that's it. That's the show. We have all kinds of cold chicken out that we need to finish.
Yeah.
So anything else for this week?
No, I don't think so. I think we've...
We're at the end. This has been The Atlantic Voice. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric. Take care.
You've just enjoyed Eric and Zeph on The Atlantic Voice podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @Atlantic_voice. You can find the show at Libsyn.com, iTunes, and of course at AtlanticVoice.net. Email us at AtlanticVoice@gmail.com. And now on YouTube, search for The Atlantic Voice. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.